You know, I love that the children ask me things that I never would have thought about. And that's one of the joys of having them. And I also invite you, if you want to go look at that organ, go take a look later. George is going to be there after the service, and I'm sure he'd show you some of the nifty things you did not get to see. Today's reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, 19 through 31. You'll find it in your pew Bible around the page mentioned in the bulletin. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand, in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you, this means you in this congregation, may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. My sister Anne and I, a few years back, probably a decade if I'm honest, went to New York City. And we stayed with a friend that had an apartment that was in a big column around Columbia University. And it was about 20, 25 stories high. And we found our way to an apartment. We wheeled with our little suitcases and we rode up this frustratingly slow elevator. And it was industrial brown and had those metal doors that opened really slowly. And finally, we got to what we were sure was her apartment. And we knocked on the door. And we didn't hear anything. And we knocked again. And then we started to hear this series of click. One unlatch and then click, click, click. We knew there was someone in there. And finally, she let us in. And we said, "Really? How do you do that every single day?" And she said, "Do what?" And we said, "Open all those locks." And she said, "Well, it's kind of normal. I'm just used to it." She said, "It's what you do to be safe in this area. It's normal." And she admitted later in the time, it wasn't, well, we kind of wondered who she was keeping herself safe from because she didn't know her neighbors. She didn't know the people down the hall. Once in a while, she'd see an eyeball at the peephole, hole, but there weren't conversations and there weren't hellos. See, fear kept them separated and isolated from each other. And fear really is this really powerful emotion. And it's a powerful emotion that will move us into an action, or maybe in some days, it's a non-action. And it seems like we have become a bit more fearful in the last decade or ago. I think after 9/11, I remember reading that security companies were called up to put system in people's houses. It was kind of a boom time for the security systems. And it reminded me of a story that a pastor had told me, that he lived in a parsonage. You know, that's a house next to a church. And he finally got a really good set of locks on that parsonage door. And I think it was probably locks that every member didn't have a key to. He didn't quite admit that. But he started bragging about this. It's secure now. And he had a policeman who was a member and said, "Preacher, unfortunately, those locks will mainly make you feel safe. They won't really keep you safe." He said, "A serious thief will get in any way through those locks. If it makes you feel better, that's great." And he said, "Those locks did make me feel better until the policeman told me they weren't really any good." And he thought that locks come in old shapes and sizes, and they're not just from a hardware store or a locksmith. See, it's quite natural when you've kind of had a trauma in life, when you've been violated in some way, that you kind of lock yourself away. And it's always my worry that when someone in my church is hurt, maybe from a breakup of a relationship or something has happened, especially in love, that they lock their heart down and they don't risk loving again. See, they want to keep secure from such pain. Or it's like a teacher who was working in an inner city school, really could just be any school in San Francisco, any public school, that looked into the eyes of her high school students day after day and could see the ones where they had shut down. I mean, life had failed them so often, and they had failed so often, that it seemed that they experienced all the doors in their life just slamming shut in their faces. And so they withdrew. They locked the door and they threw away the key, so to speak. And that teacher said, "My whole teaching is desperately involved into trying to search for a key to somehow unlock their minds and their hearts and give them some entrance. I want somehow to get into her souls." I think we know about fear, that powerful emotion that shuts us down and shuts us out. I think of those disciples who had followed Jesus, who had known him and learned from him, who had seen him heal people, fed the 5,000 from a couple of loaves and a few fishes. They had seen their Savior, their Messiah, crucified. And yet they had heard from Mary Magdalene that their Lord had risen. And yet here they were locked away in that room, filled with fear. It says locked away from the Jews. They're locked away from each other, not from someone other out there. And I imagine the room was hot and stuffy. It was dimly lit by one oil lamp, or maybe some light that kind of got through a crack in a shutter that was kind of dusty, you know, that kind of light. Fear had gathered them in there, and fear had locked them in. The scripture says that they're locked from the fear of the Jews, but you got that, like I mentioned. They're talking about their friends and their relatives. Will Willimon says it this way. He thinks perhaps their friends and their relatives were now mocking them because the Messiah that they thought would be everything died in such an embarrassing and demeaning way. Maybe they were full of fear because they had heard Mary Magdalene's announcement that Jesus was raised, and they were frightened of that. The beloved disciple had seen it, Mary had seen it, and they could only believe up to a point. What if he had really been raised? What if he didn't die? Now that fear really locked them in the room. And what one author helped me see, and I hadn't picked up before, is this is not a story about the way the world locks out Christians and locks us out and locks away from the claims of the Christian faith. No, that's not this. This is a story about those of us who are Christians who lock our own doors. And we lock out the fears of the world and what it might do to us. And the irony is those disciples lock their doors against Jesus. And I think sometimes when we lock out the world, we lock out what Jesus might do to us too. I mean, it wasn't the soldiers of Caesar that were after them. Their critics were family and friends. I mean, Jesus was trying to get in order to bless them, in order to give them peace, in order that he might forgive them and empower them. You know, our security doors, the very good lock system that we have with cards or at the church, is not a problem for Jesus. I mean, that's the good news of Easter, that death could not hold him to a tomb, and so the various locks we put up will not keep him out either. I mean, Jesus gets through locked doors and locks people. He shows his wounds and his scars from that cross. He says to the fearful, who were afraid probably that he'd have some retribution against them, "You idiots!" You know what he says to them? "Peace be with you." Isn't that wonderful? "Peace be with you." I mean, the doors were not locked against the intrusion of government authorities. It had been locked against unwanted friends and family. It was locked against the intrusions of the risen Christ. And that risen Christ will not be locked in a tomb, nor locked away from his people, from the church. And I expect we too have locked Jesus away from us, or at least we've tried. We may have done it purposely or not even been aware that we did it. We don't know when we lock ourselves away from God, like, "I'm not going to come to church this week," or "really, I'm not going to read that Bible," or "we find other things to do than pray." It is kind of tempting to lock ourselves away from God. We didn't know that if we tried to keep our faith all safely locked up and predictable, maybe even just between or in the closed doors of this church, that we were locking God away. But you know, it couldn't happen. The truth is, Jesus comes into our lives. Jesus comes where we are, not to condemn us, but to say, "Peace be with you." That's a really powerful statement, "Peace be with you." We kind of say it casually every Sunday, and we could say "hello" or something else. We say "peace be with you" because it means, "peace be with you" means the Lord is here. The Lord is here. So when we say that, we're saying face to face, person to person, the Lord is here. And maybe we're saying, "the Lord might be in you. The Lord might be in me. God's work is here. Peace be with you. The Lord is here." And you know, God cannot be locked away by our questions either. How many of you grew up hearing that this story was Doubting Thomas? Really? Does it call him Doubting Thomas here? No. Jesus says, "Don't doubt, but believe." He's getting a really bad rap. But it's not really in here. We put that title in our Bibles, Doubting Thomas. And you know, you weren't supposed to be a Doubting Thomas. It wasn't a compliment to be called a Doubting Thomas. If someone calls you that in this church, I hope you say thank you very much. Because the focus here is not on Thomas, it's on Jesus. And his generosity, he offered Thomas a livable way that he could believe. He said, "Go ahead and ask your questions." He doesn't say, "Oh, don't ask that, don't touch." He says, "Go ahead." Questions are not frightening to him. See, I think questions kind of say, "This is what I'm having trouble with," or "This is what I'm curious about," or "This is what I don't understand." And sometimes we think we're the only people that have some questions, so we kind of lock ourselves down. "Oh yes, I believe everything perfectly." Now, God comes to us where we are and wants us to understand and believe more deeply, but also knows that we're going to be full of doubts. And that's a good thing because it's a window. It's an opportunity to grow, because if you don't question, you don't grow. How many of you know someone who thinks they know everything? Of course, it's not us. It's that other person. And when you know everything, you cannot have a conversation. You cannot be taught. Might be us sometimes. If we have questions, if we can maybe admit we don't have everything, maybe we can learn. You know, pastors, they try to teach us, when someone asks you a question, why don't you listen instead of formulating your answer? That's a radical idea. Actually, listen, because that's where you learn. Peace be with you. The Lord is with you in the midst of that. One pastor who is well known in the South, you can say her name and they go, oh. Well, she admitted that she wasn't always, what they'd say in the South, all that in a bag of chips. When she was about 20, she went through this period where all she had were questions. She said if there was a Doubting Thomas Club, she was in there and she had a card and they had punched all the holes. She could get, you know, extra whatever. And she said she doubted and she didn't know what to do with it. She said it got the best of her faith. And she thought, maybe if I have these questions, I can't worship, I can't go, I can't be a part. But the longing for church kind of forced her finally back in. And she went to a Presbyterian church near her home, and she walked into the office without an appointment to talk to the pastor. And she said, I don't know exactly why I'm here, but I know that I do not believe in the virgin birth. I'm having trouble with the resurrection and the lordship of Christ. And the pastor said, well, I'll accept that. I wonder if you'd like to try to figure that out with people on a similar journey. And she said, oh, yes, I'd like that very much. And he said, well, then you are welcome here. Well, then you're welcomed here. You're welcomed to take your questions, to join in, to be Christ for each other. Peace be with you. God is here. Last week I gave you all, you had a chance to take keys, physical keys. And if you didn't take one last week, or maybe you need another one, I'm going to invite you to take one. And I want you to remember that no door, no place that Christ cannot get in, that Christ cannot unlock. And there's nothing you can do that will cause Christ to kind of lock you away. Not questions, not sin, not something awful. Christ comes into our shut down hearts and lives and says, come out into the sunshine, come with other people. What I also hear Christ saying is, and then I want you to go out and try anew. See, that's the thing. It's not just come in here and feel, oh, good, aren't we great? Christ comes to me. It's how do you live your life anew? So take a key when you go and think about that there's nothing that locks you away from Christ. Christ will be with you now and forevermore. Amen.